This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need reminds of the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have this on the line, Cal Granvall from Gold and Silver Exchange Information. We're going to be talking tonight about what's happening financially in the world. And, of course, we saw last week tremendous gyrations in the price of gold and silver, running up dramatically, running back down dramatically. But, of course, we're hearing increasingly that countries throughout the world are simply saying, we're not going to take the American dollar. Sweden has said it's going to divest itself of 50% of its reserves that are in dollars. Of course, we know that Syria and Iran and countries in the Middle East, many Arab countries, are turning away from the dollar. The dollar certainly is the reserve currency of the world, but everything points to the fact that its value is going to be progressively falling. The International Monetary Fund has said the value of the dollar has to fall 50%. Well, the average individual doesn't understand what that really means, is that when it comes to buying things from other countries, they're going to double in price. And so we've been living very, very well with the Walmart economy, buying things very, very cheaply from China and other countries, but those days are rapidly coming to a halt. We find out, of course, that General Motors is closing down many of its factories, as is Ford Motor Company. The unemployment is extremely high all throughout the Detroit, Michigan area, which has always been such a prosperous area for car building. And General Motors, of course, is shifting its center to China, where in China today, General Motors is the largest car producer in the country, larger than any of the Chinese car producers. But they can't let the American people know what's really going on, and the fact that they are simply going to dump their pension obligations here, impoverish the people who've worked for them for many, many years, and then, of course, lead to a progressive undermining of the economy here in the United States as part of a long-planned program by the Trilateral Commission and the elitists to lower our living standards and impoverish our people. Well, of course, this is going to have a very definite effect on the value of our currency as well. The government is surreptitiously turning out massive amounts of debt. And, of course, they've stopped publishing the M3 figures, and they've done that so that you won't know. They're actually increasing the money supply about 11 to 12% a year. Now, what that really means is you're losing 11 to 12% of the value of your life savings every year, and what's going to happen in 10 years. So we're in very difficult times. Cal Granvall, thank you so much for being with us. Cal, what happened to Cal? I think we lost Cal, and I'm going to ask our producer to get Cal back on the line. We certainly want to get his view of what's going on. We'd like to get your view of what's going on, too. As more and more people either are losing their jobs or they're losing benefits, and this wonderful utopian society that we've had seems to be slipping away from us as more and more people realize that the promises that have been made by government and corporations just cannot be fulfilled because, of course, they were all based upon quicksand and will soon be lost. Well, let's see if we don't having a little difficulty getting Cal Granvall on the line. So if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But I think as you begin looking and reading about what's really going on, right now, of course, the interest rates continue going up. The Federal Reserve System has had about 12 or more increases, a successive increase in the interest rates. And this is going to have a tremendous impact on those unfortunate people who were foolish enough to take adjustable rate mortgages. Now, all of these things that happened back in the 1920s, where people were encouraged to actually buy houses they couldn't afford. And right now you can buy a house in some places still for nothing down and an interest-only loan, at least for a time. But sooner or later, of course, you're going to get to a problem where you're going to have to pay the rising rates. And as you begin to, you know, go from 6 to 7 to 8% interest rates, why you're going to massively increase the amount of money that you're going to be paying on your home loan. And an awful lot of people are going to lose the homes that they've dreamed of possessing. Cal Gundvall, how are you tonight?
Very good, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, this is certainly about a roller coaster ride for gold and silver, hasn't it?
Well, it's unprecedented. It's absolutely frightening. I don't like it at all.
All right, fine. Where did it close today, do you recall?
620.50.
Oh, you're talking now of the price of gold. What about the price of silver?
$11.80.
All right, so it's really down from almost $15. So it's certainly it's very obvious it's being manipulated. They're trying, of course, to get people out of the market, and of course I'm very much afraid that an awful lot of people are going to get hurt in this market. People are unsophisticated getting into it, and of course I think many of them are going to get badly burned.
Well, I think so too. But eventually, I don't think eventually it's going to take too long. It's going to keep going up because of what's happening in the world with the Iran situation and all, you know, the bad economy everywhere. So I think this is just kind of a temporary plateau.
All right. Well, what's your take on the things now? Do you think that gold and silver are going to rally here, or are they going to stay where they are?
No, they'll keep climbing. It's the world that is, you know, fleeing into gold and silver because they see there's really not too much censorship overseas. You know, they know what's going on in our country and they know what's going on in their country. We in this country, we don't know what's going on in our country. We don't know what's going on in around the world. So the rest of the world that is seeing what's happening, they're responding by buying gold and silver. All the commodities are just going out of sight because people are buying everything not nailed down.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. We're just having a little problem here in the studio, but we think we have everything fixed up now. Can you hear me all right, Cal?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. That's not a problem.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, of course, right now, I think that as we look and we see the massive trade deficit continuing, we see the massive federal deficits continuing, and of course, as Alan Greenspan has said, in his article that was published back in 1966, where he said deficit spending is simply a means of confiscation of wealth. Let me repeat that. Deficit spending is simply a means of confiscation of wealth. Well, we're having the greatest deficit spending in all recorded history right here in the United States at the present time. And not only a deficit as far as our federal deficit, but our trade deficits are almost consuming 6% more than we're actually exporting. And this can't continue indefinitely. And, of course, the question is, when is the day of reckoning going to come? Were you surprised to hear that Sweden was talking about stopping their use of the American dollar, as a reserve currency, and actually taking 50% of their reserves out of American dollars?
No, not at all. In fact, as I pointed out last time, this process has been going on but just about every country in the world for over a year now, but, you know, it's been hidden. You know, they just, the United States censors the information. And, of course, foreign governments, they publish it, but we never hear it. So this has been going on, you know, with every country. They're lowering their dollar reserves and going to the euros. Russia did it about 6 months ago, and many, many countries have done this. So it's not surprising at all. But now it's finally coming out in the media, so it's a little bit of a forewarning to Americans that you better do something about your dollars, just like everybody else is doing something about their dollars, and they're getting rid of them. So Well, the only way that Americans can get rid of their dollars is to convert them into something tangible, which is what's happening. You know, commodities are going out of sight. Even copper has gone from 50 cents to 250, you know, a pound. And that's what's happening to all the commodities. And, of course, gold and silver, they're doing the same things, although, as you mentioned, they're still heavily manipulated. Otherwise, they'd be a lot higher than they are already.
Have you heard anything about this new redback dollar that they've come up with?
I heard a couple comments. Again, another sleight of hand ploy by the government to fool not only people in this country, but those overseas into believing the dollar is suddenly, you know, got revived.
Well, you know, it was very interesting. One of my listeners called me from Texas to tell me that he knew a man who said he'd got one of these dollars of, I think it was a $10 bill over in Ireland. So I asked if I could just see a copy of it, and we were never able to get a copy of it. I inquired around to find out if it was really true. We were kind of come up with a redback currency. Instead of the traditional greenback, it was going to be redback. And so anyway, I talked to Bob Chapman. Bob Chapman told me he hadn't heard anything about it, emailed me later in the day saying yes. He was actually hearing about it from some of the people he knew. And then about 2 weeks ago, I took a tour to Southern California. I sold a lot of my tape sets and videos. And when I came home and looked at the currency, there was one of the bills. And what it is the front of the bill, $10 bill with Alexander Hamilton on it, they've taken all the green coloring off, and it has sort of a reddish hue to it. It's a little hard to see it, but if you look very carefully, you'll see there's a reddish hue and a couple of little blotches of red ingrained there. And then as you turn it over, almost half of the back is in a pale pink color. And then in the center, there's still a little bit of green. I'd say maybe half the back is green, and half of it is with this reddish hue. So obviously they're coming up with a new currency. They're not telling the American people that, because the last thing they want is for the American people to realize that they understand the currency is in problem. To have a stable society, you have to have a stable currency, and they're going to be, again, gradually changing our currency. What they're up to, I don't know. Whether they're going to go to the two-tiered currency system, one for the United States, one for foreign countries, whether they're going to put on exchange controls or something, I don't know what it is. But I've been heard that there are rumors out there that people who work for the Federal Reserve Bank said that if the American people knew what lies ahead, they would be crying. So I think that we're in for some very difficult times, and the trouble is the average individual thinks that these things could never really happen here. And I would like to suggest, why shouldn't they happen here? We've certainly not been responsible economically, but even more than that, I mean, if there's a God in heaven, he is going to bring punishment on this country for the terrible things that we have allowed our government to do. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. So are you getting a lot of people contacting you at this time, Cal? I mean, a lot of people,
yes.
More so than in the past?
Yes, definitely. People are just plain scared. And they share the same fears I do. Because when you see everything climbing the way it is, oil's at, $71 a barrel now. And what is it, California? You probably know that you got $4 a gallon gas out there in New York or Florida.
Do you already have $4 a gallon gas?
Two states, people have told me that their gas is $4 now.
Well, I think, of course, what that's going to do is as the money is siphoned away from the people into paying for gasoline they need to get to work, well, they're going to have less money to use for buying other things. And that is going to have a dramatic effect on slowing our economy, as is the rising interest rates. So both of those things together, along with a myriad of other things that are going on in the world, and we outline all of these in something we put together, a talk called The Financial Tsunami, which hopefully will be available in a week or so. We've got the syllabus all put together, which contains the talk, but we simply list all the things that come together for the perfect financial storm that we're rapidly approaching. So what do the people tell you that you're contacting you? Are they investing? Are they speculating? Are they just trying to protect the value of their currency?
They're just trying to protect what they have out there. I mean, they've got a lot of, sometimes not that much money, but some people do have quite a bit, and they are finally getting off the fence and saying, you know, one man called me and said, I've got to buy some gold. That's it. That's the end of it. I've just thought about it too long, and now's the time. So people are buying. They're scared because they don't know what's going to happen. I think the thing that really tripped the switch was, you know, Bush announced that he's going to nuke Iran, and that day gold jumped $20 in one day. And the problem with that is that George, the rest of the world knows that George is crazy, because he's already gone into Iraq, you know, to do that when there was no weapons of mass destruction there at all. He just went in to grab the oil. The whole world knows that. Now when he says, you know, I'm going to nuke Iran, they believe him because, you know, they know he's not there. You know, he's no good. So this is what's really panicking a lot of people, because if we go into Iran, you don't need to be a prophet to figure out we're going to have World War III the next day, because, you know, it's not only the Muslims are going to be totally united now, you know, to come against us, but, you know, Germany and France have been building up armaments for about a year and a half to do that. Come against us, Communist China is waiting in the wings along with Russia, and, you know, and China is also threatened to dump our dollars if we do that.
Well,
if that happens, our dollar is done that day.
Well, I'm not so certain that we're going to have France and Germany coming against us. I think that, of course, China and Russia would like to fight to the last American soldier in the Middle East. But I would anticipate that they would be massing their troops along the Iraqi border now, the border of Iran with Iraq, so that if we do attack Iran, they will unleash their troops on our troops in Iraq. And, of course, they're in a very vulnerable position anyway right now. They're afraid even to leave the enclaves where they are staying in the Green Zone in Baghdad and other cities. The only time they go out is on patrols, and there they're in constant danger. And so, but, of course, if we were to attack Iran, what people don't understand is Iraq is 60% Shia Muslim, and those people feel very, very close to Iran. There's a kinship. They have a common religious belief, and the Shia Muslims, and especially the Shia militias, will turn against the United States forces, which they've been actually helping and working with more in recent months. And then, of course, I anticipate that Turkey will fall, that Pakistan will fall, that Egypt will fall, and the Muslim fanatics in those countries will just rise up and seize those countries. And what's even more disturbing is that if Pakistan falls, then the missiles and the nuclear-tipped missiles that Pakistan has will fall into the hands of the radical Islamic segment. And it doesn't have to happen. There's no reason at all for us to consider attacking Iran. After all, people have forgotten it was the American CIA that brought the Ayatollah Khomeini's government to power back in 1979. And in 1979, I couldn't figure out why in heavens we were toppling the Shah. And believe me, you go back and study that era, you'll find the CIA was working with the Khomeini and undermining the Shah. Why we would topple a friend and bring an enemy to power? Maybe if there's a long-term plan to bring about World War III, then, of course, it makes a lot of sense. But from a purely logical point of view, very little that's gone on in the Middle East makes any sense, unless you understand that perhaps it was always intended to bring our troops into that area and, of course, to plunge us into World War III. Well, when we get back, or even right now, if you'd like to talk to Cal about what's happening in the financial markets, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Cal, and I'd be glad to hear from you. I'd like to know what you're thinking about what's going on. I think we're entering very, very difficult times, internationally and right here at home. Well, Cal, certainly, is there anything specifically that your people are telling you, other than they're afraid, they're concerned about what's going on? Do you have any news at all you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I talk to people all over the country, and I get a pretty good sense of what's happening out there as far as the economy. One of the things you started off the show talking about was was housing, interest rates and housing, and the housing bubble is starting to burst now. Of course, this is being published, but all around the country in different key areas, just because of the rising interest rates. You know, more, you know, the, you know, refinancing is not as viable anymore. It's not, you know, it's more difficult. You pay more. We've got home affordability is at a 14-year low right now, just because of the rising interest rates. Foreclosures are up 27%, and you know, in the last year, and they're up 45% since the year 2004. And even California home sales are down over 24% in the last year. And so, as I talk to people around the country, I know one couple in Las Vegas. About a year ago, that the housing market was extremely torrid out there. I mean, you could have a house on the market for a month or two at the very most, and it would be gone. Now they're trying to sell their house and move to Idaho, and they've had it listed for 5-6 months, and they just had two people inquire, and they said there's so many houses on the market. It's a buyer's market out there, and they've had to lower their price so many times, and they're still not getting any nibbles. So it's really scary for people who are trying to sell now, because the bubble is bursting. You've got in Massachusetts, for instance, home sales are down 21%, and listings are up 41%. So you've got all these houses now, like almost a glut of houses on the market, and there's very few buyers because people just don't have cash in this country, and they're not going to go to the bank and pay these high interest loans again. So it's this is what's happening around the country. So as we lose jobs, we're losing jobs, as you know, NAFTA and GATT to thank for that. The income's not there. We've got, you know, of course, General Motors on the verge of bankruptcy, and they're saying that it's not going to happen. But who are they kidding? You've got Ford and Chrysler in the same shape. There's so many things contributing, you know, to the downturn economically of this country that it is scary. And people, even though they read the media, and they believe some of it, they're believing less of it all the time, because what they see, you know, around them with their very eyes is not what they read in the media, and they're believing what they see rather than what they read.
That old adage, you're going to believe what you read, you're going to believe your lying eyes. Well, of course, I'd believe my lying eyes anytime. And we are going to have more and more problems. Right now, we're just on the very edge of massive inflation in prices as the value of the dollar drops. And, of course, then the price of the goods that we buy that are imported from other countries is going to go up. But I think that one of the biggest things is going to be, you know, draining off the wealth of the American people simply to pay for gas and oil. And then, of course, carried on over into electricity and the natural gas that we buy. These things that almost are necessities, and the price of all of these things is going up. I know it's certainly going up here in California. Back there as well?
Oh, yes. I mean, gas is $2.98 out here, and that's Wisconsin, a little old Wisconsin.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Cal Grunwald, and we're just simply talking about what's happening economically. If you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, of course, the things that are doing well here in this country are some of our electronics. Certainly, Apple is doing really quite well, IBM. Some of our, you know, dot-coms over in Silicon Valley are really doing quite well and are actually hiring. But, of course, you have to usually be a skilled worker to get into those sort of things. But anything that is a manufacturing job, that is a regular unionized job, they're having more and more problems with them. And, of course, what's happening simply is with a massive inflow of immigration, why this is going to have a dampening effect on the wage levels. And, of course, the Mexicans will come in here, undocumented aliens or undocumented immigrants, and they will, of course, literally break the back of our unions. And our unions are really scrambling right now to maintain their membership at all, because in the past people joined them because, I mean, they got excellent benefits and wages, but I think that those days are soon going to be passed. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. I'm sorry, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. Or here on the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for Cal, well, certainly, what sort of gold and silver are people buying? Are they buying the silver bags? Are they buying the gold coins? What are they buying?
Buying a lot of silver. Of course, silver has been in a frenzy. Got up to $14.56. Of course, it came back, which I was really glad to see. It was going up too fast. Gold was almost vertical, also, and people are buying a lot of gold and silver, and taking their IRA money, in a lot of cases pension money, money market CDs, and people are converting just about everything now. I shouldn't say in a panic, no, but those who understand, they're buying large amounts of gold and silver now. And as I talked to the people who, after they buy it and get it on the sidelines, in their possession, they're tremendously relieved because they don't have the risk anymore of having it behind the financial doors.
Well, yeah, the thing that really amazes me is that there still is apparently no terrible shortage of bags of silver coins. Are any people selling the coins that they have, simply because they made a good profit on them, or most of them are buyers?
No, there's nobody selling now. Everybody's buying. I get the comment, this is kind of interesting, but I get the comment from a lot of people saying, well, gold is $600 and some an ounce now. I better not buy it because it's going to go down. And no, it's not going to go down. It might go down to $15-$20 for momentarily, but this is just the beginning of the rise in gold, just the beginning. And silver is the same thing. So the people get in at $600, they'll look back a year or two from now and say that was really, really inexpensive. That was cheap. I'm not going to put a dollar value on where gold's going to be in a year or two, but if you were to factor in inflation, the 1980 gold at $850 an ounce. That's the equivalent of about $2,400 today.
And I think the people have to understand that it's not necessarily even the gold and silver are going up in value at all. It is that the dollar is going down in value, and it has fallen tremendously since 1980. So there is the potential there for a tremendous appreciation. But even if it doesn't do that, what you're trying to do is save the value of your life savings. I'll never forget, it was about 40 years ago when somebody was telling me what a wonderful country Uruguay was. Uruguay was really a utopian society. You could go down there, you could get a job, work for 10 years, and retire at half pay. Go ahead and get another job, you work 10 years, retire at half pay. And get a third job, and retire at half pay, and maybe even a fourth job, and retire at half pay. Everybody had so much money. Everybody was living prosperously until the whole thing collapsed because it was financially unsound, and the corporations that were paying those salaries couldn't afford to, and so they got out of their obligation simply by inflating away the value of the currency by printing all sorts of money. And whenever you increase the money supply, you decrease the value of the currency. I mean, you can't change the laws of gravity, and you can't change the laws of economics. And when you inflate the money supply, you decrease its value. It's simply that simple. And of course, the politicians know that. They know that there's no way that they're going to be able to pay the Social Security and Medicare payments that they promised. And besides that, they've already stolen all the money out of Social Security. And 11 years from now, why they're going to be taking in less than they're putting out. And then comes the day of judgment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Cal Grunfeld. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, if you agree or disagree, well, I would love to hear from you. And we've got Ray calling in from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good tonight. I had a question, your guest. What do you think of a windfall profits tax on the oil companies at about 2%?
Well, why do you want to put a windfall profit tax on the oil companies?
Well, they're making enormous profits. Why not?
Well, of course, how would you feel if they wanted to increase your taxes?
Well, I wouldn't want them to do that. But
well, it's all right to increase the taxes on the oil companies, but not on the people?
Yeah, I think so. I believe so. I believe that they're just a bunch of... I don't like the oil companies.
But just because if somebody didn't like you, would that be a justification for increasing your taxes?
Well...
I mean, there's some people who believe that we really ought
to... There's got to be a way to... You know, to bring the gas prices down, that's the only thing.
Well, of course, but the way you bring the prices down is to allow the drilling of Anwar, to allow the drilling on public land, to allow the drilling, you know, offshore, to allow the drilling up in a great pool of oil that is off Prudhoe Bay. And I've actually talked to people, there's plenty of oil. There's no shortage at all, but they've created an artificial shortage. What we need to do is, of course, produce more, not tax the people who are...
Right.
Now, I'm not suggesting that I like the oil companies either.
Yeah. But
the solution is not to tax people we don't like, but to bring the free enterprise system into being. And the trouble is that the environmental movement has been funded by people of great wealth who do not want competition. They want shortages, and that's how they run the prices up.
Yeah, now, I understand what you're saying, and I think I'd heard the program that you had about the Prudhoe Bay oil, and yeah, it makes more sense. The other thing too is that we lack the refinery capacity.
Well, why do we lack the refinery capacity?
It's deliberate. Of course,
it's deliberate. They've created the artificial shortages. What we need is to work for abundance, not shortages.
Yeah.
Oh, what are your thoughts on that, Cal?
Well, I guess I'd have to agree. I mean, there's no way. See, you can't control big money. Big money controls the country. So
yeah.
You follow the money to find out who's corrupting everything, and then you get the answer right there. So
yeah,
can't control the big boys. All you can do is try to get out of their way the best you can.
Yeah,
that's all you can do.
Okay, hold on. We'll be back here in just a moment with Cal Grunwald. Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and my guest this evening is Cal Grunwald, and we have Ray on the line. Ray wanted to a windfall profit tax on the big oil companies, and I'd say they've got about as much choice of getting that, as chance of getting that, as you have of getting drilling up in Anwar. They don't want, to drill in Anwar because they don't want an abundant supply of oil. They want shortages so that they can raise the price up.
I heard this recently. I was looking at a paper, and it had a group of actors. I think George Clooney and somebody else, and Al Gore, talking about a green revolution. I was thinking in my head, "Geez, what kind of revolution are you talking about? One without cars, and you know everybody rides a bicycle?" Or
that's exactly what they want. They want us to get us out of our cars. They want to lower our living standards, and this is all laid out in the Global Biodiversity Assessment that came out of the Second Earth Summit back in 1992, and people can get that. It's published by Cambridge University Press, the Global Biodiversity Assessment, or we have that summary of that in our Sustainable Development Syllabus.
Is Al Gore part of this international globalist community or whatever?
Sure, he is. He's always been part of it.
Mm-hmm.
As his father, who was very, very close to Armand Hammer, who was a communist agent working for the communists, but you have to understand that the communist agents and the capitalist agents work very closely together because they both want a command society. They both want power, and so communists and capitalists get along just fine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, anything else you wanted to say?
No, that was about it. I think I pretty much covered everything.
Okay, fine.
Thanks.
Thanks very much, Ray. And, of course, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, before we go on, Cal, let's get your telephone number and your website out. Oh, you don't have a website, so we'll just get
you. Yeah, I got a website.
Oh, you got a website. Wonderful. Congratulations. How long have you had that website up there?
Oh, about two or three months now.
All right, fine. Well, let's get your telephone number and your website up, because I know you have some things you know, going into the background of what happened back in the 1930s, that every American should know about what really happened as they went into the safe deposit boxes and seized gold, and I don't know whether they seized the silver, but they seized the gold that people had. And, you know, you see, they couldn't do that sort of thing. They can do whatever they want to, ladies and gentlemen. When you have a government that can watch you, that can has your number, is able to track everything you buy, everything you sell, that has video cameras on their street corners, and the average American simply goes along with it. After all, we got to be protected from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's off living in that cave in Pakistan someplace. What? Let's get your number information.
All right. Out. Yes, my phone number is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. The website, of course, is www.goldandsilverexchange.info. You write out the word "and." It's goldandsilverexchange.info. I-N-F-O. An informational website, you know, of course I do sell gold and silver, but it's, my website's talking about my paper that I have written. It's a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. It's really a unique paper in the sense that it exposes, you know, the unscrupulous things that the coin industry is responsible for. And it's a good educational piece if you've never purchase gold or silver and you really don't know what to do, and most people don't. I just sent for my paper. You can sign up for it on my website. There's a contact page there, and then you can sign up for it, and then I get the information, and I just, you know, I send the paper to you, or you can call me on the phone and request it.
And, all right, one more time, the telephone number?
It's 414-234-8267.
All right, fine. If you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, you know, there's been a lot of changes in simply within the last couple of months as far as what's happening on the international commodity markets. And, of course, you've had these tremendous amount of money that's been created out of nothing. The banks throughout the world are simply creating dollars, and they're able to do that the way the banking system is. It's a fractional banking system, and banks create money out of nothing. And then, of course, you can borrow that money, and it goes places like Japan. Here, up until very recently, they would lend money to you at 0% interest or even a 0.5% interest. And so they were certainly borrowing large sums of money there and taking it over and lending it in Iceland, where they get a 10% return on their, on the bonds. And of course, even here in the United States, 3 or 4%. So you can borrow money at 0% and lend it out at 3 or 4 or 10%. My goodness, that's just like a money tree. And it works very well until Japan began to raise their interest rates and the value of the yen. And so they suddenly pulled the money out of Iceland to cover their position in Japan. And then suddenly, and this happened just about a month or 6 weeks ago, the value of the Icelandic currency plunged 18% literally overnight. Now, you didn't hear at all about that in America because they don't want the American people to understand how the game is played. This is known as the carry trade. And this had a profound impact not only on Iceland, but on a number of other smaller countries that were paying exorbitant interest rates to bring money into the country for development. And it's great as long as they don't take the money back. And when they take the money back, the increase in the value of a currency plummets almost overnight. And, of course, Iceland, fortunately, I think, is going to come through. But this has happened in other countries. It happened in the Malaysian countries 3 or 4 years ago and literally destroyed the value of their currency. And, the large fear is that something very, very similar could happen here in the United States. Because there is nothing behind our currency, they've created all of these artificial dollars. There are over almost ten and a half trillion dollars throughout the world, and of course, in real currency, there's only about $700 billion. So you've got all of this artificial money that's out there, and if that money ever comes cascading back into this country, money, as we know it, will have literally no value. And that is a concern. I think that's why they're beginning to print the redbacks at the present time, gradually planning, you know, on what's going to happen, and probably they'll be able to establish a two-tiered system and at least temporarily hold off the total destruction of the value of the currency. Well, now, did you hear anything at all about the concerns, you know, on the international markets?
Yes, in fact, I was reading a very interesting article by Philip Barton called The Fundamental Difference, and he was saying that U.S. Treasury officials estimate that two-thirds of American dollars are circulating outside the United States, and it's an unquantifiable amount. They estimated at $8 trillion. And so once the rest of the world, which, you know, are holding these dollars, they figure out that our dollar is not worth anything anymore, they're going to start buying something tangible, like gold, silver, other commodities, and, you know, just to convert them into something real. When that happens, you know, gold and silver will go completely out of sight, and, you know, the other commodities will too. Of course, gold and silver are, you know, centered and focused on, because they're monetary metals. Silver's not a monetary metal now, but it will be in the days ahead. So once that happens, you know, the little bit of gold that's available is going to be gone, and then you can't buy any gold at any price.
My understanding is the central banks, which have been selling gold for a long time to keep the price down, have really cut back dramatically on their gold sales because they don't want to sell any more gold. They want to have something behind their currency when this whole house of cards comes tumbling down. So, you know, certainly they're not leasing out or giving out their gold as they have so readily in the past, with the idea that they could dump gold on the market and drive its price down. Giving the idea there was plenty of it out there. And yet they are smart enough to realize that they need something to back the currency of their respective countries. I mean, the reason you have a central bank is to give a stable of value to the currency. That's why we established one here in America. And, of course, they have violated their promise to Congress and to the American people. And in the name of prospering themselves, in the name of pursuing their internationalist dreams, why the people in the Trilateral Commission, Paul Volcker came from the Trilateral Commission, certainly Alan Greenspan came from the Trilateral Commission, their loyalty is not to America, but to this internationalist dream of building up the economies of countries throughout the world. Well, this is not why we elect our people in to our legislature. This is not why we elect our president. We don't elect the Federal Reserve System, but they're answerable to Congress, and Congress should certainly hold them to their responsibility. And I believe if they have been given that responsibility, tremendous power, tremendous prestige, to maintain a stable currency, and they don't, I think they're no different than Mr. Schilling or Mr. Ken Lay. Both of them are on trial now, and may very well spend the rest of their lives in prison. Our Federal Reserve Board has an obligation, a stable currency. Who out in the audience really believes we have a stable currency today? And, of course, without a stable currency, you do not have a stable society. So, Cal, what are your thoughts?
Well, of course, the Federal Reserve Board, as I told in that little anecdotal story, you know, 6 or 8 months ago, the Federal Reserve Board is made up of 12 members, and 6 of them have determined drop the dollar another 20 to 30% as soon as possible. And an analyst for the Federal Reserve Bank, who works in the middle of the bank, said that if this trend continues, then there's no reason that it won't. Within a year and a half to 2 years, we could have a dollar crisis where the dollar would fail. And we're not that far away from it. The rest of the world sees it far, far more vividly than we do, and they don't have the censorship on their media that we do. So it's there are a growing number of people in this country that are becoming aware of what is really going on. I think it's because of, you know, shows like yours, Dr. Stan, that, you know, you tell the truth, you stick your neck out there, and people are listening. And just, again, with the advent of, you know, more and more of the Internet, there's a lot of truth out there about everything now that there, you know, just wasn't 30, 40 years ago. So the people who want to find things can do that, and they can access truth and information that you'll never get in the major media. So I think more and more people are waking up and becoming aware and doing something about it, because people just have to do something about their situations.
Well, they don't have to, but if they don't, they're going to lose the value of everything they've worked for their whole lives. And, you know, Cal, it's amazing how they play games with our minds. We hear about the tragic bombing in Egypt here this last, last day or so, you know, and I don't know how many people died, 20 or 30 are killed in that. And of course, they play up the drama of that. I mean, there was a program on television last night about when the bird flu strikes America. And, oh my goodness, bird flu is going to come, and people are going to die, and thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of Americans are going to die, 50% mortality rate. Ladies and gentlemen, this H5N1 virus has been around since 1959 in the birds. I mean, the first human cases were about 1979. In the last 3 years, we've lost 110 people. And, of course, if you go to China and you check the people for antibodies, large numbers of them have the antibodies, but they've never been sick from this virus. Here in the United States, 160 people die from being struck by lightning every single year. Nobody has ever died of bird flu in the United States, and the chances that they will die, I would say, are negligible, and even the CDC will admit that, and yet the mass media is trying to get us frightened to death about this, and it is part of the manipulation of our reality, so that we're not going to see the very real threats to the survival of America, the massive immigration invasion here with not 12, but 20 million people, and we have this from very reliable sources. There are really 20 million illegal or immigrants in this country, or undocumented workers in this country. They don't focus on that as a major thing, and when they ever do mention the 500,000 people marching, they never, you know, they keep talking about them as immigrants, not as illegal aliens who are coming here to take the jobs of the American people. We are being invaded. Our currency certainly is not too far from the destruction. We're involved in a battle in the Middle East, and it appears that our leaders are intent upon, getting involved in a war with Iran. And of course, what they do is they focus our attention on imaginary threats to take our attention off the really important things that are going on. And I believe, of course, the destruction of our currency is one of the primary threats to the survival of America as we know it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, or you have a question or comment, if you agree or disagree, we'd love to hear from you. Our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald, who, of course, is in the gold and silver business. He does help Radio Liberty stay on the air. We appreciate having him with us because we think it's so important that at least our listeners are aware of what's going to go on and are beginning to make preparations for themselves and for their family. And you may not make a cent, but at least if you can preserve the value of what you've worked your life for, why, you're going to be way ahead. And this is the real important thing. Gold and silver may never make you rich, but wouldn't it be terrible to lose what you spent your whole life accumulating? And I think that's really what it's about, don't you, Cal?
Well, absolutely. It's kind of interesting, but I'm talking to a number of people now that have received inheritances from mother, father, a relative who died, and, sometimes $150,000, $200,000, $300,000. Well, back when that was accumulated, that was when a dollar was a dollar, and now it's been eroded, by 50% or more. And so the only way to really turn that around, because a lot of times, or most times, it's a real sentimental. It's not just the money. It's just the sentimental value of that inheritance, whether it's stocks or bonds or actual cash or whatever it is. And so I encourage people, if you want to preserve that memory and that legacy from your parents or wherever you got it from, turn it into gold and silver and then have it with you. You're not, again, looking to get rich, as you mentioned, but it's the preservation that's so important now when the dollar is collapsing and worldwide forces are such that, we could have an Argentina any day, the banks could close the doors, the government could tell Wall Street to shut down, indefinitely. And then where would you be? You have to ask yourself those questions. Where would I be? Where would my family be? How can I, how can I secure my financial, you know, financial security for my family if it's behind somebody else's door? So it's, you gotta think kind of seriously what to do at this point.
Let's get your telephone number out there one more time, and then we'll get to Dave, who's calling us from Corona.
It's 414-234-8267.
One more time.
414-234-8267.
And Dave, how are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fine. How's everybody?
Doing fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out who you're going to trust.
All right, fine. We're going to be you. Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. We have Dave calling from Corona, California, and he says it's sometimes pretty hard to know who you can trust. And I will tell you, Dave, that it is hard to know who you can trust. So what point would you like to make?
Well, you know, you just hear a lot of different people on the radio all the time, and a lot of people seem to have the same question, and then they talk about bullion, they talk about collectibles, they talk about the silver bags. It kind of really gets confusing where you get to the point where it's like you throw your hands up in the air and you...
I would like to respond to that, Dave. See, that's why I used to be a teacher. It doesn't mean anything, but high school and college English teacher, so I do everything through education. And I hate hype. I hate high pressure. I won't do it with anybody. I'll just sit down and talk to you and say, look, you know, I've written this paper. I'll send it to you at no charge. I've got the other information in there, as Dr. Stan knows, of some articles out of the 1933 New York Times, which, you know, does contain a new banking order, which allows the banks to open safety deposit boxes. Article on Fort Knox Gold that, you know, tells about there's no gold there, nothing backing your dollar. But anyway, I'll send you this package of information.
Okay.
You read it. You know, you digest the information. If you want to call me and talk to me, ask me some questions. See if my approach is not common sense. I mean, I think the bottom line with my approach to owning, you know, gold and silver is absolutely common sense. And the thing that makes my approach different, and I'm not bragging about myself, I'm just average person with average intelligence, but I have to make sense. I'm a practical person. If it's gotta make sense to me before I'm gonna do it. If I have a tool in my hand that doesn't work, either I get a new one or I fix it. So, the approach that I have, it makes sense to me, and it makes sense to everybody I've ever talked to. And the biggest you know, confusion out there is people cannot figure out how it can fit in, you know, to their finances to buy, you know, these high mint state real rare coins that cost 6, 7, 10 times the value of the gold in it.
Right.
They just can't fit that in. And how can I barter with something like that? They can't put the pieces together so it makes sense. So therefore, they're suspicious, they get confused, and of course, these big coin companies, they can't stay in business unless they sell these coins because they got huge buildings, a big light bill, you know, Mercedes, Cadillacs driving. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, I've been in the business, you know, I've seen it for almost 10 years, and I know how these people operate, and I know how these people live. And, you know, you can't support your habit with, you know, with the coin, kind of coins that I sell.
Okay, Dave, we're out of time, but
thank you so
much for calling. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, and Cal, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. It's always a pleasure. All right, fine. That was Cal Grunwald. And, well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and first, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you agree with us that there is a real problem, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and we'd hope that many of you would want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or perhaps subscribe to our newsletter. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, just give us a call, and we'll be glad to send you one. 1-800-544-8927. We've written a little pamphlet. It's called The History of Money. It's available by calling that same 800 number. We have a talk called The Coming Crisis, The Coming Economic Crisis. We have a syllabus we put together called Financial Tsunami, and hopefully within a very short period of time, the talk that goes with that will be available. And of course, it simply goes into the background of the history of money, how we got in the mess we are today, what the smart people will tell you about what's going on. The three rules of investment: diversify, diversify, diversify. And, of course, remembering, of course, that if you do what everybody else does, you're probably going to lose. You've got to be able to think outside the box, and hopefully we can teach you how to do that. I don't sell gold or silver at all. I'm just trying to get people to begin to think, and certainly many of the people who've taken our advice and got themselves into a solid position, you know, have done quite well. But the important thing is try to protect what you have. And I say this because at least I hope that our listeners will begin making preparations and they're not going to get caught in becoming a perfect economic storm that is about to sweep across our country in a great financial tsunami. So, again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. The pamphlet is, of course, The History of Money. The talk is called The Coming Crisis. If you have not yet read a book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, or The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, the two books that we carry, which I think are important, and a third little inexpensive book called Fiat Money, Inflation in France, the story of what happened in France following the French Revolution. And reading that book is like deja vu all over again, because you can see exactly the same things happening here in America. Now, to understand what's really going on, you have to, of course, understand the Trilateral Commission. We have a book on the Trilateral Commission. The head of the Federal Reserve Bank, the last two chairmen of the Federal Reserve Board, both Paul Volcker and certainly Alan Greenspan, came from the Trilateral Commission. Certainly every chairman of the Federal Reserve Board comes from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the elite group that controls both of our political parties. It is a front for a secret society that was created back in 1891 by Cecil John Rhodes, for whom Rhodesia is named. If you want the background, the documentation for much of what I'm saying, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, that's Brotherhood of Darkness, we recommend it to you. It will give you an entirely different insight into what's going on and an understanding of the fact that there are spiritual forces, there are secret societies, and there are forces working behind the scenes which most people have no concept of. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because if America doesn't turn back to God, we're going to see God's judgment on America. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And we'll, till we're together again, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to at the present time. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, well, hopefully we're going to have Charlie Peters with us in just a moment. I'm going to see if I can get our producer to give him a call, and we get Charlie Peters on the line. Charlie, of course, deals with automotive problems, and certainly was very much on top of the MTBE problem when we had it here in California. That was the additive that we were forced to put into our gasoline. Not that it did any good. In fact, it was added to the gasoline to purify it so that we wouldn't be contaminating the air. And, of course, what it did was contaminate the air and contaminated the water and created all sorts of problems. And this is another example of what happens when you have a command economy. Bob Dole, Republican from Kansas, has a foundation that supposedly is going to help crippled children. And Arthur Daniels Midland, which, of course, is the largest corn buyer in the entire country, stood to make billions of dollars if they could get legislation through requiring ethanol to be added to gasoline. I mean, they would buy up the corn, they would make the alcohol out of it, and they were going to make a lot of money. And so they gave a couple of $100,000 to the foundation, that the private foundation of Bob Dole's, and he got the legislation through mandating that we would have to add oxygenators to our gasoline, either ethanol or MTBE. And since, of course, ethanol would be primarily used in the Midwest. Here in California, we added MTBE to our gasoline. We polluted the water supply. It is a carcinogen. We polluted the air with it. It was a terrible idea. But of course, Bob Dole actually talk about bribes. I mean, what would you say if somebody gave a couple of $100,000 to your private foundation and then you got legislation through for them? Well, it's simply a bribe. I mean, certainly what Tom DeLay and the others have done is totally unconscionable, but what Bob Dole is unconscionable as well. But nothing's ever going to happen to Bob Dole. He's part of the establishment. His wife is now a senator. Now that he's out of the Senate, why his wife has a seat in the Senate. And there is a small elite. Of course, they commit all sorts of crimes. But, of course, think of the harm that they did. Think of the terrible harm that they did here in California, where literally hundreds of millions of dollars of damage were done because of Bob Dole's legislation. But after all, think of all the good he can do with that private foundation. Well, right now, of course, we've got Charlie Peters on the line. Hi, Charlie. How are you doing?
Why, hello, Doctor.
It's good to have you with us.
Why, thank you.
Well, tell us now, one of the things I think that many people are concerned about is what's happening to the skyrocketing price of gasoline. And, of course, when Katrina came around, Hurricane Katrina, and gasoline hit $3 a gallon for a few days, everybody was up in arms, and then the price back down. But the price is right back up there again, isn't it?
Well, Doctor, have you ever heard of De Beers Diamonds?
No, sure I have.
Well, they work pretty hard on trying to pretend that there just aren't enough diamonds to go around.
Well, you hold on, Doctor. We'll be back here in just a moment. And I know that when I lived in Africa, they had the Diamond Coast. You could walk along the coast and pick up the diamonds there just on the beach. But you better not do it. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Charlie Peters. Pick up the story there, Charlie.
How's that, sir?
Go ahead. You were talking about the De Beers. You were talking about De Beers trying to convince us there's a shortage of diamonds. Whereas there's plenty of diamonds in the world. Well, they create a shortage so they can run the price up.
Well, absolutely. And that's certainly what appears to be the game that we're playing here at this juncture. And it appears to me as though significant funding for issues such as environmental groups to the product out of the market in order to raise the price or create a perception of unavailability or that we're running out of oil and so on to support what I perceive to be promotion of a new system that will solve this problem of where we have too much energy supplies. And if you allow the competitive marketplace to bring supplies to market, that the price goes to almost nothing because there is such a huge availability of energy. So in order to try and keep that from happening, as an example, Doctor, the issue of drilling in Anwar appeared to me to be something not likely to happen probably 4 years ago. I predicted that we would not approve drilling in Anwar because that would put additional product in the market and lower the price. It appears as though the oil companies lobby very hard to be able to drill there, which may be completely counterproductive to additional profit.
Absolutely. In fact, they will pretend to do all sorts of things because the last thing they want for the American people to know is that the oil companies are doing everything they can to keep from an abundance of oil. Everybody says we went into Iraq to get more oil out of there. Oh, we wanted to have that oil. Well, if that's where you went in, why now is Iraq producing less oil than it did before? Did it ever stop to anybody out there ever stop and think that maybe that's exactly what we wanted? I mean, the oil companies made $100 billion last year in profits, and a lot of that was because we went into Iraq, and we don't know who's blowing up the oil lines there. Could very well be the CIA, could be the oil companies that are doing it. Don't laugh at Charlie. I mean, they do this sort of thing. They've blocked drilling it, and why they finance the environmental movement to create the artificial shortages to actually restrict the number of oil refineries. We've got only half as many as we had in 1980.
That's been absolutely intentional.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Charlie Peters. Go right ahead, Charlie.
In my opinion, a primary issue right now that's being promoted by an unbelievable number of policy people here is the issue that we need to diversify the market in order to meet the demand because of issues such as global warming, because we're running out of oil, because of a whole list of reasons. All of these reasons are saying that we need hydrogen economy or an ethanol economy, both of which are oil company strategies to increase profit. So, in my humble opinion, the immediate solution is similar to the solutions that happened right after the hurricanes, where we provided flexibility to the California refiners to eliminate the necessity for using summertime gasoline, which made a significant improvement in the prices that we paid right after the hurricane.
And I think it's so important that people understand what Charlie is saying. Actually, our refineries are required by law to have all different sorts of gasoline for different times of year, for different parts of the country, and different additives in these gasolines, which really runs up the price. Isn't that accurate?
Well, the refiners would provide different kinds of gasoline for different times of the year for drivability reasons, just to meet market demands. You don't want to go climb in your car and have difficulty starting it or difficulty trying to drive through the desert because the fuel is not matched to the time of year and the weather. So that is a market issue, not a regulatory issue. There are also additional regulatory issues with requiring cleaner gasoline in the summertime. And so, as I was saying, Doctor, this past year, right after the hurricanes, the administration in Washington, in conjunction with the administration in California, provided relief from the requirement for using summertime gasoline early, which provided some relief in the amount of gasoline that they could make and the amount of and the kinds of gasoline that they could import, which kept our prices from going higher than what they did. So I believe that right now the solution to the problem, which is stated in the media as being a temporary shortfall in availability of ethanol, particularly on the East Coast.
Now, is this ethanol or alcohol? Is this ethanol or gasoline?
Okay. We have ethanol or corn whiskey, white lightning, that's all the same thing, made primarily out of corn. What happened is going to happen as of May the 5th is we're not going to be putting any more MTBE, methyl tertiary butyl ether, in the gasoline because of the potential responsibility of the refiner for damage to water and other things. So right now, because we relieved the country of the necessity of having oxygen content in the gasoline in the energy bill last year, that becomes effective May the 5th, so there's no longer a requirement to use oxygenates, so the oil companies can't say we're using MTBE because the federal government is making us do this. So we're replacing all of the oxygenates on the East Coast with ethanol in a very short time frame. So there is a claim that there is a shortfall in availability of ethanol to satisfy the eastern market when you change from MTBE-laced gasoline to ethanol-laced gasoline. The ethanol absorbs any moisture that's in the tanks, so you got to go and empty the tanks, clean them out. You got to put on all kinds of new filters because it cleans out a lot of the stuff that's in the tanks. So you're going to cause problems in the cars, problems in the tanks. So this transition has got service stations on the East Coast without gasoline available for the driving public. And so, but the solution to this, in my opinion, is exactly what we did last fall right after the hurricane in California, allowing relief from the requirement for the summertime gasoline. The energy bill last year has in it a policy issue where the Fed can relieve the states or a region or a refiner or anybody they wish from the requirement of using ethanol. And the ethanol, which is replacing the MTBE, because the energy bill required a level of ethanol for the entire gasoline market in the United States, and you either use it or you buy credits because somebody else uses more than enough. So we have this mandate to use an increasing level of ethanol over time. If you relieve the requirement to do that, which is in the bill, which the legislation allows relief from that requirement, then this shortfall that is taking place right now in enough ethanol to make enough gasoline to supply the market will be relieved. And in my humble opinion, the day that that happens, the price of gasoline nationally is likely to drop 25 cents per gallon plus.
Well, now, of course, Charlie, the idea of putting ethanol in our gasoline, I know that Brazil apparently uses a lot of ethanol in their for their fuel, but does ethanol really help, you know, to cut down air pollution? Certainly we know that MTBE, they mandated it at the federal level without one study if it's going to be, useful. Not one study that showed it was going to cut down pollution. Not one study that showed that it would not be harmful or carcinogenic. And yet the federal government mandated it and created a problem for almost a 10-year period. What about the ethanol? Are there any studies that show that it cuts pollution, that it is not harmful, that it is really going to do what it's said it's going to do? Or is this simply all a gimmick for Arthur Daniels Midland so they can make more money and give their bribes to the senators who vote for their legislation?
Well, I think it's a welfare program primarily not for the ethanol producers, but for the gasoline producers. Because when you use ethanol, you get less gasoline available in the marketplace. But shall I explain that?
Well, yes, you would, because you would think you'd get more, because what do they put it, about 10% of ethanol?
Okay, it's 5.6, I believe it's 5.6% in California.
All right.
Most of the country is using 10%, but California is using a lesser amount, which matches the 2% oxygen content of the Clean Air Act amendments, which was eliminated last year. Okay? So when you use ethanol in our gasoline in California, California's, particularly our summertime gasoline, has a standard for evaporation, or called reed vapor pressure, as they measure that to see how quickly the gasoline evaporates. And there's a standard for that for California gasoline. So when you add ethanol to the gasoline, you increase the vapor pressure or you increase the evaporation rate. So in order to meet the standard, existing standard for evaporation, when you add the ethanol, you have to take a certain amount of the gasoline that you make and you can't use it because your evaporation rate is too high. So you end up with producing less gasoline when you add the ethanol than when you don't.
Now, it gets a little complicated, doesn't it? You know, where does the federal government cut off and telling us how to formulate gasoline in the state of California? This is totally unconstitutional. Of course, I realize it doesn't matter whether it's constitutional or not. They're going to go ahead and do it, whether it's constitutional or not. People in Washington, D.C. really don't care whether they're violating the laws of this land, as long as they can, of course, please the corporations and, of course, get their large contributions. And where is the outcry from the American people? This is the thing that really disturbs me. Why aren't the American people unhappy? The reason that the Soviet Union didn't work is because they had a centralized command economy. This is exactly what we're moving towards here in America.
Well, Doctor, I think you've hit right exactly on the money as to how people in California and across the country can get relief from the current issue of our gasoline prices and our environmental issue, both. And that is that the current situation is that all of these people are saying that California has no jurisdiction over the ethanol and the gasoline, and that is completely controlled by the federal administration.
And it should not be, of course. All of these ideas, these environmental ideas of air pollution, I mean, the federal government does a poor job in anything that they do. I mean, they can't even get good education in the only part of the country that they're really responsible for, and that's certainly Washington, D.C. They have some of the lowest SAT scores there of any place in the country. I mean, they control the crime in Washington, D.C. That's the murder capital of the world. Why should we think that these turkeys who can't even, you know, run the District of Columbia, which is the one area that they have authorization and justification to run, why should we think they could run the rest of the country?
Well, Doctor, the comments that you've made are right on the money, and you said, how is it that the federal government can regulate our refinery on this issue of ethanol? The California Air Resources Board regulates our refiners and regulates the formula for California. The only thing that we're claiming that we can't regulate is the issue of ethanol and the gasoline. That does not even pass the laugh test. If the people in California provide sufficient support to Arnold, we're in an election year, he's wanting very much to get elected, I don't believe he will have any choice but to take action on the numerous ethanol issues.
Hold that thought, John, we'll be right back. All right, Dr. Stan here, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Charlie Peters was just saying that since Arnold wants to get elected in November, he probably will do the right thing. But the thing is, once he gets reelected, he's not going to do the right thing. He's going to continue doing what he wants to. He may say he's going to do the right thing, but Arnold Schwarzenegger says one thing and does another. I mean, he was elected supposedly, to to be a fiscal conservative. His request for bond spending and for, you know, just building everything in the state of California with borrowed money, I mean, he would make certainly Gray Davis blush or Jerry Brown. None of them would have the audacity to suggest what he did, the most massive spending program in our state, perhaps even in our nation's history. How can we trust this man?
Well, that's it. I don't think that's the issue, Doctor. I think that we're in November, there's an election. Between now and then, if the issue that relief from ethanol and the gasoline is a significant cost, environmental, and gas mileage issue, which it is, which is documented on the California Air Resources Board, if the governor is given sufficient support, he will have no choice but to act and relieve California from the requirements that we currently have, which are significantly increasing the amount of gasoline that new cars are using, significantly increasing the amount of gasoline that we're using because it gets less gas mileage, and significantly negatively impacting the environment. And Arnold will have to act if the public provides appropriate support, and he will have to quit blaming George W. for the problem, because, in fact, he's the man that can make that change before the election.
All right, fine. So what are you suggesting? What would you like our listeners to do?
Well, I certainly would be pleased to provide documentation as to justify what I've said to you. I can provide you with significant documentation. The Air Resources Board has documentation on their website. So if we get relief from the requirement for ethanol in our gasoline, I believe that the day that Arnold provides that demand, that day I believe the price of gasoline in California will go down a minimum of 25 cents and continue to drop.
All right, fine. So were you suggesting that people write to Arnold, that they fax Arnold, that they call Arnold, that they send an email to Arnold? What do you think the people should do, and what should they specifically request that the governor does?
Well, I think the most important thing they could do, Doctor, is get documentation for themselves that this, in fact, is true. Tell a neighbor. Tell your wife or husband. Tell the person next door across the fence, and that grassroots effort will get to Arnold, and he will have to act.
But it will not get to him unless the people contact him. It doesn't matter what the people think, or what, unless, of course, they are letting him know and putting tremendous pressure on him, and let him remember that, you know, they're going to remember in November what he does about this and other issues. Why, he's not going to act. I mean, the people can know all that they want to. Unless they bring pressure to bear on our elected representatives, they're going to jolly well go along with what they want to do.
Well, I think what is correct here is probably a combination of what both of us have just said. The issues have to go to the governor, but it also takes a lot of people doing that, so they got to also share it with a friend.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Charlie Peters, and he's talking about the problem with ethanol, the fact that they have to add ethanol to our gasoline here in the state of California, and we'd be a lot better off if they weren't. This is not going to increase or decrease the amount of pollutants in the atmosphere. It is all part of a boondoggle by Arthur Daniel Midland, and perhaps by the refineries, to justify raising the price of gasoline. But I suspect that Arthur Daniel Midland is going to make a lot of money. We certainly know that the corn farmers are all in favor of this, because, of course, they want something to do with their corn. They can produce a tremendous amount of corn, but, of course, the more corn they produce, the less money they make for it. So it's totally counterproductive unless they can increase the demand for their crop. And so there's a tremendous interest in the part of the farmers, the corn farmers, in ethanol, and they're actually pooling their money and setting up ethanol factories, ethanol plants there in the Midwest, and I certainly sympathize with them. I just don't want to be forced to have to buy their product when I'm not certain it's going to do any good. What are your thoughts about, it's number one, cutting down on pollution, and number two, increasing the mileage of our cars?
Well, you hit right. You actually, you're right as well with the profits of the ethanol producers. I read an article today in one of the north Midwestern states where the legislators were stating that if somebody currently builds a $100 million plant today, that this, because of the subsidies currently existing and the price currently of the ethanol in the marketplace, that that plant will be paid for in full in 1 year. So you make $100 million the first year on an ethanol plant, and who's paying for that? There's that the pay for that comes from two things: selling the product to the refiners, who are also getting 51 cents per every gallon out of the federal budget, just as welfare to help them do this.
I mean, actually, are we subsidizing the refineries?
We are subsidizing the refiners over 50 cents per gallon of ethanol used, correct. That is over $500 million a year in California out of the federal budget to encourage them to put ethanol in our gasoline.
Well, I mean, look, we pay a gasoline tax, federal tax, what, 50 cents a gallon?
Right.
And so that 50 cents a gallon tax that we're paying to the federal government that's supposed to be used for highways is actually going to the refineries, many of which are owned by the great oil companies that just made $100 billion profit. Is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely correct.
I see. Well,
we're also spending billions of dollars of federal tax money to generate the corn, to generate the ethanol and these ethanol plants. So we got welfare, corporate welfare going into the system from several different locations, which pays off a $100 million plant in 1 year. But that is minor chunk change. That is not a big deal in comparison to the additional profits that the oil companies are making because of this mandate. One penny in additional cost in gasoline in California, of which it's probably a dollar too high right now, but one penny is $500 million a year in net profit.
Well, I think that probably the people who are invested in oil stocks should be smiling from ear to ear.
Yes, sir. But what effect is this having on the economy? Where is this going? What I think this is going is we're trying to create the infrastructure for the hydrogen economy, and you think this is serious. You haven't seen nothing yet, Doctor.
Well,
the costs of going to the hydrogen economy, if we're going to use ethanol as a hydrogen carrier, will absolutely break the bank of every citizen in California except for the ones working at Chevron and so on.
Well, I think that, Chris, what we're basically seeing is an organized effort to lower our living standards, to take more and more, siphon more and more of our money off. And, of course, by so doing, why, we're not going to be buying as much, we're not going to be consuming as much. And what you're seeing are the people, the rulers, the invisible rulers, who want to lower our living standards. They know exactly what they're doing, but they can't tell us outright. And so we see the effect of that as, of course, more and more money goes for our gasoline purchases. We have less and less to invest in other things. And there really are people who feel that the American public lives too well. Now, they don't want, of course, to give up their planes and their jets and, of course, their billions of dollars, but there is a ruling elite that looks upon us common folks as, well, if we could just get their living standards down to that of the people living in Eastern Europe. That was what they said in 1992 in the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report that came out of the second Earth Summit. We have it summarized in our sustainable development syllabus. You need to read it. You need to understand how these people think. They think differently than you and I do, because they are the elite. They're the people who run the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Charlie Peters. And Charlie, we'll get you to know in just a moment or two how you can get in touch with Charlie and get his material. But if you have a question or comment, if you agree or disagree, give us a call at 1-888-2-888-888. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And I think that we have real serious problems because we have an elite who has a different agenda. And just as in any totalitarian country, why, of course, you know, of course, in China, you don't even dare speak out as we do here, but in China, they plan the economy, but there are people who are planning our economy here, and they're creating impossible situations, and, of course, they think, of course, that things would be better if we just switch to alcohol, drive the price up. Now, tell me more about the hydrogen economy you keep talking about, Charlie. What is the idea of that? How does ethanol fit into that? And how expensive would it be to have hydrogen cars?
Well, first of all, the New York Times in the last few months has said that the system to run a car under full production, a hydrogen fuel cell car, just the motor, is $100,000 in full production, actual cost. This is no profit. So you have a $100,000 engine, and then you got a reformer that I believe they intend to use ethanol or methanol as a hydrogen carrier to fuel this unit. And they're saying that somewhere around 3 to 4 years after purchase, you have to redo the fuel cell at the tune of $50,000 to keep it running. They intend to pay for that by having a tremendous carbon tax on fuel in order to fund this transition to the hydrogen economy. So you're going to have a corporate welfare program. I have seen figures in print in the news media of $7 trillion a year in carbon tax to fund this transition to the hydrogen economy, to have $100,000 engines for cars that require a redo in 3 to 4 years at the tune of $50,000. They would like to have your house ran on off of one of these units, a truck, a train, ships, your laptop, virtually every energy and transportation unit that exists, so that we can save the children from global warming.
Hold that right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Charlie Peters. He's talking about the hydrogen economy. He's claiming these cars, the motors in them alone would cost $100,000. This will all be subsidized by a massive increase in taxation for about $7 trillion a year. Now, Charlie, the entire budget of the United States, even the bloated budget we have today with all of the war and everything else, is only $2.7 trillion. How could we possibly afford something as expensive as what you're talking about?
Well, Doctor, this is not a tax on the United States. This is a tax on the world orchestrated through the United Nations, sir.
Yes, but of course we are the major source of the funding for the United Nations and,
right,
and all the rest of the world.
Correct. But I have seen now, you're saying, Charlie Peters is saying, I have said to you the New York Times says, and so on and so forth. These are documentation that's in the media. This is not something that's a figment of Charlie's imagination. This is documented information that is being distributed everywhere you want to look that says specifically. As an example, in California, we're putting hydrogen stations in to be able to put pressurize bottles with hydrogen, so they can run down the road.
Because what happens when, of course, you get into an accident, one of those hydrogen tanks cracks?
Well, that they're currently putting in 5,000. They intend to put in 10,000 pounds of pressure. We're currently saying that when you make the hydrogen and you send it through the system and put it in a vehicle, we're losing 40% of the hydrogen volume just getting it from the manufacturer into the car. So we're losing 40% right there. It's going to cost equivalent of about $6 a gallon, and the cars are going to, just for an everyday average shoebox, is going to cost in full production $100,000 just for the engine. the economics of that get pretty ugly pretty quickly, and that is about extracting money from the public's pocket for the benefit of the elite, of which the hydrogen economy, in my humble opinion, is being primarily supported and promoted by such nice folks as British Petroleum, and they're advertising it on the television constantly that they're beyond petroleum and supporting this ethanol-supplied hydrogen in the car to make more money.
Well, that's really very interesting, because this is one of the major things that Arnold Schwarzenegger said when he first was running for governor, that we were going to have to actually move towards a hydrogen economy. We were going to have these hydrogen stations every 20 miles or so along the freeways all up and down California. And when I heard him say that, I thought, you know, he's got to be out of his mind. I mean, we don't have the technology. You know, there's just no way we can switch to a hydrogen economy. And yet, apparently, there are some people that like to do that. I mean, driving cars, I mean, if they would allow us to access all the hydrogen carbons, the gasoline that's available now, why, we could certainly, you know, get the price of gasoline, I believe, down to less than a dollar a gallon. There's an abundance of oil, you know, but they have created an artificial shortage. And I simply say to the people who question that, I say, look, do you honestly think that we're not drilling in Anwar because, you know, of the, you know, the ecology up there, the pristine wilderness? This is frozen over 90% of the year. I mean, is it because of the reindeer? No, the reindeer love it. There are more reindeer than we've ever had before because of the heat generated by the Alaska pipeline. I mean, they don't want to drill in Anwar, and the truth of the matter is, it is because they want to create an artificial shortage, exactly for the same reason they won't let us drill offshore. Has nothing to do with the environment, has everything to do with creating the artificial shortages to increase the price to impoverish our people. When are the American people going to understand that? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our listeners out there who would like to verify what I'm saying, we've got a great four-tape set. It's called The Oil Deception. We have a couple of newsletters. We'd be glad to send you at least one of them free of charge. It gets into the whole background of this scam and how they have put this over on the American people. It goes into Mr. Lee Raymond, who was the chairman of Exxon. He just retired. I think they figured he would made about all the money they'd given him. He was making about $1,900 or $2,000 a day. About $20,000 a day. I mean, he retired with hundreds of millions of dollars of pensions, you know, for the fine job he had done of scamming the American people.
Well, Doctor, this kind of information, there's more of the public that's aware of these things than is imaginable, and the reason is very special people like yourself who have been communicating what you see and what you think is happening, and I think the public is much more aware than anybody gives credit for, and I really believe that Arnold can be given sufficient support to make a significant improvement for the people in California before the election by providing support to get rid of this ethanol, which I believe is very, very negative to our environment, to the availability of gasoline, and most importantly, to our wallets.
Well, of course, one of the things that interests me is, what is the effect of burning the ethanol? Does it pollute the air? I mean, does it break down the formaldehyde? What does this do when you actually burn it in our cars? What impact does it have, certainly on the car? What effect does it have on the environment? And three, does it really do anything to cut down on pollution?
It increases NOx significantly, which is precursors to ozone. It decreases gasoline mileage significantly. It's being used as a basis on CAFE standards to significantly increase the amount of gasoline that new cars are being able to use. Just go to the CARB website and find out about the ethanol mandate, and I think it's pretty clear there that they oppose the use of ethanol in our gasoline.
All right, let's get your telephone number, your website out there.
Okay, my phone number is area code 510-537-1796, And my email address is CAPP, which stands for Clean Air Performance Professionals. It's CAPP Charlie, that's with an IE, at earthlink.net. So my phone number is 510-537-1796, and I'd be happy to share information with anybody who's interested. And my email address is cappcharlie@earthlink.net. But like I said, Doctor, the magic here is you and you putting it out there and providing this information for the public. You have done a tremendous service for the people in California and in this country, and I really salute you. You are my hero, Doctor. Hello?
I don't know about that, but our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I'd like to know what our listeners out there think about the MTBE that they put in. And, oh, shucks, it was just a mistake. Whatever happened, they were getting sued. The state of California was getting sued for, what, it was a couple of $100 million for under NAFTA or something because we outlawed the MTBE. Whatever happened to that suit?
Well, that suit was under NAFTA. It was by the number one producer of methanol in the world, Methanex. And Methanex recently went into partnership with British Petroleum and opened the largest methanol plant on the planet when there's been an excess of availability of methanol in the marketplace. It's really interesting that Iran shipped 100 million tons of methanol to Japan, China, and India just not something like 6 months ago, and right after that is when British Petroleum and Methanex announced this new plant. So if we were to go in and put and make a regime change and stop the methanol production in Iran, would that benefit British Petroleum and Methanex? I think it might. The suit was by Methanex. The primary producer of MTBE in California was ARCO. ARCO's been purchased by British Petroleum, so that partnership is then the suit was with the federal government, and that suit was overridden and rejected by the NAFTA court, but that situation is still very active and a major issue in the news as we speak, because we have huge saber rattling over Iran as we speak, which has the potential of stopping oil production and methanol production, and the methanol is made out of natural gas in their oil wells. So this is absolutely pertinent, major news issues of the moment worldwide.
And I think if you think that gasoline is high now, just wait until we attack Iran, and I think you will see the price probably go to $4 or $5 a gallon.
Absolutely.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295 in the Central Coast of California. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. I would point out that British Petroleum is largely owned by the British government, and the royal family has a tremendous investment in that. Royal Dutch Shell is largely owned by the royal family of Holland, and the Dutch family there, and of the Netherlands, and of course Exxon and Esso and all of these here in the United States are owned by our royal family, and that is the Rockefellers, the richest family in America. But of course, they can never let the American people know that. They got to make you think it's Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Leave me, ladies and gentlemen, these are pikers compared with the Rockefellers, but because they control the media and they control the politicians, why, you're never going to hear the truth. Well, let's go to Jack, who's calling us from Michigan. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Jack, did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, first a comment. The British came, according to Paul Revere, and they never left. I think the United States municipal corporate democracy is nothing more than a British satellite operation.
All right. Okay.
The question I have is, whether Charlie has ever heard the name Byron Wine, because in an Australian investigative magazine, I found an article several years ago and recently heard an interview, B-Y-R-O-N, Wine, ByronWine.com. The man lists and described in the interview just an amazing array of high-mileage engine systems that vaporize the incoming fuel as it enters the intake manifold and other mechanisms, achieving anywhere from 2 to 400 miles per gallon.
All right. Have you heard anything about these things, Charlie?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact,
do they really work, or is this a scam?
As a matter of fact, a friend of mine and myself have a proposal at a major manufacturer in the United States right now that we're proposing a increase in gas mileage of 10 miles to the gallon for the fleet plus, and we believe that could impact this manufacturer's bottom line approximately $300 billion a year within a year.
All right, fine. Well, let's get ahead of that website. What are your chances you're going to be able to get that thing through?
Well, it's being communicated at the highest level in this particular manufacturer as we speak.
Now, is it, are they an automotive company? Or
absolutely.
All right, fine. Well, I hope it worked out for you.
One of the three majors in the United States, and this proposal is there. And if we're not successful there, we're going to take it to others.
All right, fine. Well, I wish you well. Then maybe you'll become so prosperous you can buy a few radio stations.
I'll leave that to the real expert.
All right, fine.
Yourself, doctor.
We got Mary calling. Mary wants your website. What's your website again?
Well, if you want to either give me a call on the phone or send me an email, I'll refer you. If you put Clean Air Performance Professionals, you Google that, or you Google our public relations lady, which is Pertec Blonde.
How about Charlie Peters?
If you put Charlie Peters and put ethanol or MTBE or smog check, the combination of those two should get you about 300 specific hits.
Okay, fine. Jack, did you have anything else to say before we let you go?
Well, yes, actually, Dr. Stan, in response to Charlie's 10 mile per gallon increase, there's a man out in Boston. Well, I guess he's no longer there, but I spoke to him numerous times three, 4 years ago. He was an HVAC specialist and developed an evaporative coil, which he adapted and refined for internal combustion use. And even Senator Kerry rode in the annual 4th of July parades where this man had a 72 Pontiac Catalina, 75 miles per gallon, a 94 Jeep Grand Cherokee, 112 per gallon, and an 86 Mercedes diesel, 162 miles per gallon.
Well, I'd sure like to know how that works, Jack, and I would really like the documentation on it. But let's go to Jeffrey calling from New Orleans. Hi, Jeffrey. How are you doing?
Well, pretty good, I guess, despite the fact we have two socialist candidates running in the second primary for mayor. But what I want to talk
now,
about
for
is
our
this.
For our listeners out there, Jeffrey's from New Orleans, and so you got a choice between a socialist candidate A and socialist candidate B.
So I'm not going to vote for those guys. But what I want to talk about...
Sort of like voting for the president, isn't it? Like voting for a socialist party Republican or socialist party Democrat.
Right.
They both come from the same secret society. Anyway,
exactly.
How are you hearing us there in New Orleans?
Of course, I got you on shortwave.
Okay, very good. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment. First of all, I'm convinced that the oil refineries are not only the cause of the problem, but the government is the cause by putting all the restrictions on the refineries by preventing them from producing 100 octane gasoline, which would prevent the NOx and give you the best performance in your cars. And at the same time, they push us with all kinds of restrictions on where you can drill, where you can't drill, why you can't convert coal into gasoline and petroleum products, which was done in Germany in the 30s, plus the fact they get 69 cents of tax per gallon of every gallon of gasoline that's sold. So as far as I'm concerned, we got to get rid of the EPA, get rid of the federal government's restrictions, and get back to letting the businessmen do their job and make the products that we can buy and earn their money from it.
Jeffrey, you're not going to get any argument at all from me. What we need to do is get back our leaders to obey the oath that they've sworn, that is, obey the Constitution, and they have no right to do most of what they're doing.
That's right. And to Charlie. I'm very glad to hear about all these developments of higher mileage and so on, from better intakes such as the Tornado to all kinds of mileage increases and so on. And what we really need is more competition on that end from the auto companies as well as from the oil companies. So I'll let you go on that, and let you, one comment in this ethanol business. The reason for getting rid of the MTBE is because it gets into the exhaust. The same thing as the lead. And that's why we have to be very wary of these additives.
Amen to that. Hey, thanks very much, Jeffrey. Good to hear from you. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Hartwell calling from Louisiana. Hi, is that Hartwell? Is that how you pronounce your name?
That's right. And my question is, it's my understanding that an engine can run on hemp oil. Could you all comment on that?
Do you know anything at all about that?
could an engine run on hemp oil? Absolutely. That would not be a problem.
I mean, it would be sort of like a diesel, wouldn't it then?
It would just depend on... what it was designed to do. I'm sure that could be changed to run on diesel or gasoline type engine.
All right, fine. So anything else? The thing is that there are lots of things that they could do. Hartwell, they don't want a solution. They want a problem. Because when they got the problem, then they can figure a way, of course, of getting more money out of us. And this whole thing is orchestrated. I mean, they blocked the nuclear power. They blocked the drilling for oil and natural gas. They financed the environmental movement, to actually restrict our access to what we need for energy here. Because they really want, of course, to cut back on energy consumption and lower our living standards. When you understand that they know exactly what they're doing, then it all makes sense.
Yes, I know it makes sense, and what I've been trying to do is get people involved, but I just can't get them away from their beer and ball games long enough to see the threat.
No, Hartwell, you've just got to get them listening to our programs. You've got to make them understand that they're going to destroy the value of their currency. They're going to destroy the money the value of the money they've worked all their life to save. They're going to plunge us into a war with Iran and perhaps into World War III. Do they want to see their sons and daughters and granddaughters, going over there into this meat grinder? What do you think would happen with one nuclear bomb here in the United States? What would happen to our economy?
Everything would go downhill very rapidly.
And what do you think is going to happen when the Iranian terrorists who are in this country, and there may not be 40,000 of them, as President Ahmadinejad has said, but all you need is about 50 terrorists, and I've been assured that there are 40 or 50 Iranian terrorists right here in America now, ready to take out some of our supermarkets and some of our stadiums. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're willing to give their lives to destroy this country if we attack Iran. What are the Americans willing to do to prevent it? Anything else, Hartwell?
Just I wish everybody would just turn to God. That would be the true answer.
Amen to that, but it's not going to happen until things get a lot worse. We've got to be there to point them in the right direction.
Right. Thank you all so much, and may God bless you.
And you too, Hartwell. Thanks very much. And Charlie Peters, thank you so very much for being here once again. It's always a pleasure having you here on with us at Radio Liberty.
It's a huge honor, Doctor, and like I said, you're my hero, and I really appreciate all your hard work, sir.
God bless you. Bye-bye. And that was Charlie Peters. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I hope you enjoyed our program with Charlie Peters, and we've got a real problem. We've got a problem because they're creating these artificial shortages of gasoline and natural gas, and they're driving up the price of electricity, and they're actually blocking, I'm absolutely certain, efforts to get better gasoline mileage. After all, if you got better gasoline mileage, why, there'd be an abundance of oil, and the price would come down. That's the last thing that they really want. But if you look behind everything that's going on, there is an effort to lower the living standards of the American people. And if you look behind that, there are powerful spiritual forces that are going to bring punishment on this country. And, of course, right at the present time, they're being motivated by very evil and wicked people. But God is allowing it to happen because there's no incidents in all history where a nation has turned away from God and God has not brought his vengeance upon that nation. And, of course, if you go back, if you listen to the first inaugural address by President Bush, where he is actually talking about the whirlwind and the storm, that he says does an angel ride in the whirlwind and guard the storm. Well, the whirlwind and storm basically is a term that comes from Nahum, and the first part of that book. And Nahum is actually prophesying the destruction of Nineveh because of their sinful nature, and of course very shortly after that, that the term the whirlwind and the storm reflected God's judgment on a sinful nation. And I really believe, of course, that this was a coded message for people throughout the world to understand that there is going to be a destruction of this country and much of the rest of the world coming. But of course it's going to be done by the dark forces that God has allowed to be unleashed upon us. So we hope many of you will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free newsletter, we'd be glad to send that to you. If you call us at 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you out there will give a serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We hope that you'll tell others about our ministry, and you'll get them listening on a regular basis. An awful lot of people don't want to think that anything bad can happen. A lot of people are absolutely certain we're going to be raptured before things get bad, but that's exactly what the German people had been told back in the 30s. That's what the Chinese people had been told, you know, before the Second World War, before they were invaded by the Japanese, and the people lost their faith when it didn't happen. And, you know, this is a path of neutralism. I hope the rapture comes. I'd love to have it happen during my lifetime, but I'm not going to count on it. I believe God has put us here to do our best, and we are there to warn the people, as we're told in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, and if we don't do it, then the blood of those who perishes will be on our hands. So I hope many of you out there will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, join our effort to educate the American people, and then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, because America is a sinful, sinful nation. We ask you to pray for revival, because if there's not a great revival in America, another great awakening as we saw in the 1740s, as we saw in the, you know, in the 1860s, we're going to lose this country. And lastly, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our web page, RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to us 5 hours a day.